The Property Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hi there, and welcome to The Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. My name is Suren Naidu, and on this weekly MoneyWeb show, we gain insider insights from leading executives, analysts, developers, and entrepreneurs in South Africa's expansive property industry. This week's pod is slightly different. Property Pod doesn't really cover politics or politicians often, but with this being an election period, we thought let's speak to the mayors of some of South Africa's major metros. The big cities are still where most property development takes place and are still commercial hubs, but face pressure with increased urbanization, essentially to cater for more people coming into these cities. And service delivery is also under pressure with not just the urbanization, but South Africa's poor economic growth over the last 10 years or so, nationally at least. First up, we have the mayor of SA's capital city, Tshwane, Mayor Silius Brink. Tshwane covers Pretoria CBD. It's quite a large metro, and other key nodes such as Menlyn, Centurion, Mamelodi, and new development areas such as Mooikloof. Obviously, I haven't mentioned all the areas, but Mayor Brink, a very warm welcome to the Property Pod.
Hi, it's good to talk to you.
Let's kick it off. Can you sell your city? Why invest in Tshwane? Naturally, we're talking property-wise here, but short, sharp, and why the capital city?
Well, firstly, it is the capital city. It's the administrative and executive seat of government. So you've got a lot of the public sector invested here and also invested in this place not failing. You've got a big core of civil servants who don't just work here but live here. And that gives the city an element of resilience. But it's not just about the public sector. We have numerous research institutions, including universities, the CSIR, the Agricultural Research Council. And those institutions produce a great deal of research output, probably one of the biggest research output centers in the country. We also have the automotive industry, of course, with BMW, Ford, and component industries. Our BMW X3 is exported to the United States, and it's wonderful to see that car, driving the other side of the road being manufactured at Roslyn. But more importantly, we've got a government with a pro-growth agenda. We know that things aren't perfect, but we're willing to talk to developers. We're willing to talk to investors. And we're really focused on building a capable state with a new top management recently appointed for the city, whose job it is to improve research outcomes and to improve governance outcomes, rather. And that is yielding important results. But lastly, this is also a pleasant place to live. It's a good place for middle-class professionals to live. It's not just about the middle class, but of course you want to create a place that can grow the middle class, importantly. Pleasant suburbs, nice temperate weather, really just a livable city. And I think that's one of the most important aspects of life in the city of Tshwane.
Thanks for that, Mayor. Whenever I go to Tshwane, or even Pretoria CBD, I like the city. It seems not as dangerous. People are walking the streets. It's not just the new development areas that are getting the investment. On a property side, can you highlight some of the major property developments in Tshwane being led by the private sector and the significance of these projects for the capital city?
So we've got about 13 strategic urban developments in the city. And as you know, these strategic urban developments are those that have been identified by national government. And so there's no contest between local and national government over where infrastructure must be developed. And some of these large-scale developments include the Tshwane Automotive Special Economic Zone around the east of the city. This includes also the Roslyn Hub mixed development, and I think it was featured on MoneyWeb sometime last month. Then we've got the first land development by Atterbury, and a number of other important projects, which, if they are fully unlocked, will not just generate additional revenue for the city, which is important to maintain our infrastructure and to sustain services over time, but also to create jobs and opportunities. So it is clear that the city of Tshwane is, from the perspective of a property developer, we're not just one kind of thing. We don't depend on just government or just tourism, or just automotive manufacturing. It's a unique combination of all of these things, which I think makes the city an attractive prospect for property developers.
I see you mentioned quite a bit around the Tshwane Automotive SEZ, obviously BMW, but there are other manufacturers that are part of that. While that's not pure property, I'm sure it has a lot of ripple effects in terms of people buying houses and other investments that ripple effect into the property sector, as it were. Is Tshwane investment friendly? How is the city supporting and attracting private sector investment, especially from a real estate side?
The first important point to make is what we've put into our city planning processes, and we've got land use applications on an automated and digital system in the city, and replacing the manual submission process, saves time, it creates efficiencies. The next challenge is to put building plan applications on the same electronic system, and that's all about making things faster and eliminating human error and so forth in the application and construction phase of development. Now, I must admit that we're not perfect. We certainly have a number of things that need to improve in our city planning space. In the next few months, we will be advertising critical positions in especially the planning aspect of the city planning operation, and that should ensure the more efficient and the quicker handling of applications. We also have forums where we discuss these things with developers and other planning practitioners, including architects. And we acknowledge that it's not just about the regulations that are produced by national government. It's also about the day-to-day operations of the municipal administration that makes it more likely or less likely for investors to come. We obviously operate within serious national constraints, which I'm sure we will discuss, but it is cities' responsibility to gear themselves as best they can in order to promote and make it easy to develop.
Well, my next question was a bit property specific, but you talk about that national challenges. I gather it's around funding, which, national government's purse strings have been tightened, and obviously it's impacted municipal government quite significantly, not just Tshwane, but other cities around the country. But on that question, what are some of the challenges for the metro in terms of property sector and unlocking development? You can get to that in a minute, but perhaps you want to highlight, those challenges, because I did say we're not going to go into politics, but politics affects everything. Tshwane has been in the news in the last few months dealing with its financial status, as it were.
Yeah, so let me talk about the issues that impact us from a national perspective. Remember, municipalities operate within a framework of government where most of the power and resources are controlled at the top. If you look at fiscal transfers, municipalities only get about 10% of those fiscal transfers, and yet we bear a great deal of the responsibility. And even National Treasury talks about cities in particular as the engine rooms of economic development. But what has made things particularly difficult, and this is not unique to Tshwane, is of course load shedding. And although as we speak, we haven't had load shedding for a number of days, most people understand that load shedding isn't a thing of the past. We need to diversify our energy supply away from Eskom, and we need to invest in alternative energy generation. It's one thing not to have load shedding, but it's quite another not being able to grow because your energy availability places an absolute cap on growth. I think it's about 2% of GDP the last time I checked, probably less now. The second major challenge is also funding related, and that is the way that national grants and transfers are structured come with all manner of conditions, whereas cities should really be left to determine where we want infrastructure, where we need infrastructure. And then lastly, of course, is crime and criminality. We do have a Metropolitan Police Department, but the mandate for example, investigating construction mafias and extortion and fraud and other violent crimes is with the South African police, and they obviously don't have the capacity always. So these are the constraints, but we're determined not to have our potential limited by those constraints. We have an energy task team that is exploring opportunities for us to generate or purchase at least 1,000 megawatt of power independent of Eskom by 2026. And this involves using two of the city's mothballed power stations, which we want to place in the hands of the private sector. We're having an energy summit in June where we'll discuss some of the other plans. In terms of rebuilding infrastructure, our main focus has been on the city's financial recovery, because we can't be dependent on national government transfers. We have to increase the revenue of the city, collect what is due to us, because that's the only way we'll improve our creditworthiness and generate savings, which of course you use to build infrastructure. And by making competent, professional, non-political appointments in our city administration, including the Tshwane Metropolitan Police Department, I believe that we'll be able to exercise a great deal more influence over what goes on in our streets, including bylaw enforcement, traffic control, and so forth. So we do operate within national constraints, but we are determined to make the best of the opportunities at our disposal to build a city that is attractive to investment and that's pleasant to live in.
Turning back to that question, obviously we got a little bit sidetracked with your comments and valuable comments in response to the follow-up question there. But what are some of the challenges that the Metro is facing from a property development perspective and unlocking development? Is some of those grant issues affecting a municipality? Perhaps you want to highlight issues around commercial ratepayers. I see you've been quite vocal about illegal connections and that sort of thing as well.
So I did mention infrastructure, building infrastructure, because essentially you need water and electricity in order to build nice things. Our dependency on Eskom and on Rand Water in particular has been a limiting factor, as it has been in other cities. I hope that diversifying energy supply will significantly change the game within the next 2 years. But on the side of water, it's also important for us to explore other abstraction opportunities. We sit with the Richvlei Dam and the Roodepoort Dam, which have a great deal of potential in terms of water purification and abstraction. But as a city, we have to admit we don't have the capital to build the infrastructure to increase abstraction from those plants. And so we need private sector partnerships. And that acknowledgement is very important. If you've ever dealt with government, you'll know that often those in positions of power and government authority want to do things by themselves. And for us, we know that partnerships are going to be absolutely crucial to unlocking infrastructure. The second issue that you raise as an inhibiting factor of development, and obviously this has been raised by SAPOA and others, is the high cost of tariffs and property rates. Now, the important principle in local government is that your tariffs and your rates have to be cost reflective. But when you sit with a great deal of illegal connections, or if you sit with many consumers who simply don't pay their bills and continue to consume electricity and water and get waste removal without paying anything, and obviously this is beyond the basket of free basic services offered to the poor, then your costs are going to escalate. Your costs aren't going to be reasonable, and that's going to have an upward effect on property rates and tariffs and so on. And that's why the city is going on a very aggressive drive called Tshwane Yatima, which is essentially enforcing credit control and debt collection. those who owe the city money must pay. And we're in a process of rebuilding the city's tax administration capacity. And that is really about a fair deal to ratepayers, because they will have to subsidize those costs if they don't get paid. The second aspect of that, obviously, is disconnecting illegal connections. In this way, we save on distribution losses. But there also has to be an acknowledgement that our dependence on Eskom has made us exceptionally vulnerable to these tariff increases approved by NERSA year after year after year. And we can't, unfortunately, absorb a 17 or an 18% or even a 10% increase in electricity. We have to pass that on to our consumers. And that's why getting energy independence away from Eskom is so very important to us and our consumers.
Thanks for that, Mayor. The spiraling rates and taxes, you highlighted it, and you even mentioned Sipoa. They've raised this as an issue numerous times over the last decade. They haven't particularly mentioned Tshwane. A lot of it is zoned out cases against the city of Joburg and comments particularly around Itekweni municipality. But from your side, is Tshwane competitive on this front, rates and taxes, perhaps excluding the Eskom aspect, you know, the actual property rate side of things?
Well, I think competitive means compared to what? And I think we are relatively competitive, but our focus is obviously on giving consumers and potential developers, people who will create jobs and opportunities in our city, the best possible deal, the warmest welcome, instead of the icy treatment of escalating rates and taxes. What I can say is that for the 2024-2025 financial year, and our budget process, our public participation process, has just been concluded, Tshwane probably has, of all the metros, the lowest increases overall for property rates, for electricity, water, sanitation. All of them are either inflation or bulk price escalation dependent. In other words, what Rand Water and what Eskom and others charge us. And I think that's important. But my comment remains on the importance of tariffs having to be cost reflective. And it doesn't just help you passing the cost on to the consumer. You as a municipality must proactively manage those costs down so that they are reasonable. Unfortunately, we know that due to various factors, including preferential procurement, BEE legislation, and so forth, government does pay a premium compared to the private sector on goods and services. But what we can focus on, and I'm not going to repeat what I said on collecting what is due to us, but also cracking down on corruption, making sure that when bid adjudication and evaluation committees don't do their work and are responsible for irregular expenditure, that those officials are held to account. And recently, the city of Tshwane did take some very, very decisive action against individuals implicated in an irregular tender awarded for the upgrading of the Rooiwal wastewater treatment plant. That involved a number of senior officials. And the important point is not that those things happen, but how do you respond when they happen? And I'm pretty confident that with the new team that we've put in place, and this is the civil servants, the city manager, CFO, head of internal audit, head of metro police, and so forth, those critical positions have all gone to people who aren't politicians, who are professional civil servants, and who will be willing to enact the manifesto of any democratically elected government within the framework of the Constitution. And that's what's been missing in so much of the public sector, because we've had political so-called deployees doing all sorts of things instead of doing their work. And for us, changing the culture of the city and the value for money that consumers receive is a very, very important priority.
Yes, cities bear the brunt of the service delivery protests and that sort of thing, because they're closer to South Africans than national government. So it's good to hear the cleanup from a corruption perspective, which is affecting municipalities across the country. Mayor Brink, just to end off, it is the Property Pod. CBDs are important in South Africa. The Pretoria CBD is in a better form, as it were, than other CBDs in the rest of the country. Obviously, it benefits from national government having number of offices there. You mentioned the universities. It has quite a strong student accommodation component as well. But how important is the Pretoria CBD and urban renewal in the traditional CBD for you as mayor? What's being done on this front?
It's critically important for us because our CBD is the place where people from different parts of the city, whether you're from Pretoria East, Pretoria West, Atteridgeville, Shoshanguve, Hammanskraal, Centurion, this is where many people either come to deal with government, whether it be the courts or the company's registry office, or to conduct business or to come to work. It's a big modal interchange, and for us, it reflects the core of the city. We do have the same problems as other cities, a big inflow of people from not just our rural hinterland within South Africa, but across the borders, which makes planning exceptionally difficult. We've got issues around homelessness, crime and so forth. And our response to that has been to establish a dedicated inner city operation. People who clean the spaces every night. So every night, even though by 4 o'clock, it might look like it still needs some cleaning. Those people come back, and our inner city team really is doing excellent work. We also have identified the importance of concentrating resources as a city along critical main routes. Some of them include Nelson Mandela Drive, Eskiam, Patlele, and other routes around the inner city. And what that basically means is you've got more dedicated cleaning up operations. And hopefully soon in the future, you'll see far more visible metro police presence. There's a saying in local government, if you can control the roads, you can control the crime. And I think that is true to a great extent. So the inner city is incredibly important for us. You mentioned government as an anchor tenant in many of these places. But even more important are some of our private investors. A company called City Property, for example, has got very long record with the city. And it is just amazing spaces within our inner city that have been rejuvenated through private investment. Including mixed-use developments. And it's been an absolute pleasure for me as the mayor to explore some of these places because our inner cities do get a bad rap, so to speak. But in fact, the hard work to clean up and to make them safe and orderly spaces, that is underway. We haven't done everything we possibly can. It's not perfect, but it's certainly, compared to some of the other spaces, the inner city spaces in the country, we're making good progress.
That was Tshwane Mayor Silius Brink, one of our young mayors in the major metros in South Africa. We have quite a few young, proactive mayors in several municipalities across the country, and we will chat to more of them in upcoming episodes of the Property Pod over this election period. It didn't start at the beginning of the month, but it will be over the next few weeks. Hopefully we secure all of them. But Mayor Brink, I really appreciate your time and your busy schedule on the Property Pod. That was Tshwane Mayor Silius Brink.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories. The Property Pod.